This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from Boston, Massachusetts, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and are you 30 years old? Me too! Today, we're talking and walking through lessons we've all learned from our first 30 years of life. Now, let me just find my bifocals here and peruse this list we found on that newfangled Webernet machine. Where did I put them? God, I can never find my glasses. Always put them on the chain, Doug, on the around your neck. Okay, we got them. We're all set. To help you think straight about life and money, we welcome from the Money Mindset Podcast, Ashley Patrick. Then, from Afford Anything, it's Selena Gomez. Nah, she's busy solving mysteries in her building with Steve Martin and Martin Short, so today, we can only get Paula Pant, who also has no idea what that reference is all about. And finally, say hello to our hip co-host from Generation Y, Would You Do That? OG! And now, a guy who's older than two home loans put together, Joe Saul-Sehy.
And by two whole loans, Doug, I'm sure you mean like one of those weird 10 years and a 15 year put together. That's what you're talking about?
Thinking of are there 50 year home loans?
Hey, man. Whoa, easy. Together? I'm sitting right here. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Boston, Massachusetts. It was Doug that made the political statement about the state early on, so don't blame me. Send all your hate mail to neighbordoug@stackybenjamins.com. We got a fantastic show. You know why? Because today I've got somebody sitting next to me who's never sitting next to me, Paula Pant.
I am sitting next to you. We're here in Boston. This is so much fun. It's cool to record in person, like to actually look at your face.
It is weird.
It's weird. It's so weird. I'm looking at your face and it's not over Zoom or Skype or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm not seeing the turtle in the background.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. No. Yes. Yes. Strange.
Absolutely. And by the way, did you know that Selena Gomez reference?
Oh, yes. It is a reference to a Hulu show called The Only Murders
Shut
in the
up.
Building.
Shut up. Really?
Yes.
Doug. What the hell's...
I know it only because I've seen the billboards. No. It was very advertised.
Have gotten that?
Who is this person sitting next to me? We have an imposter in the room. Yes. And the guy who's normally sitting across from me, who's holding down the fort in the basement, it's Mr. OG here.
What's happening?
Dude, you need to be in Boston. Fly out here for the event tomorrow night.
I would, except I have real work to do.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't.
Apparently not. And by the way, a woman that we partied with in Charlotte, North Carolina, as we record this, I think it was about a week and a half ago, Ashley Patrick is here. How are you, Ashley?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We were saying when I was in Charlotte that how come you've not been on the show? And so I'm so happy that we got you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, tell everybody about the Money Mindset Podcast and what you do.
So I am the creator and founder of Budgets Made Easy and the Money Mindset Podcast. I'm not really sure why I named it something different than everything else, because everything else is Budgets Made Easy.
You know why? You know why, Ashley? You know exactly why? Because you'd think of it later. But it was just, I can't tell you how many times I've been halfway down a rabbit hole and I'm like, why didn't I name that the same thing? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I help busy moms pay off debt, you know, create systems that make it easy for them and live the life they want, whether that's, you know, working a different job or not working at all, or just being able to travel.
Well, now it is time on today's show. We're going to talk about a blog post from a gentleman named Joseph Wells. I'm not familiar. Paul, are you familiar with Joseph Wells?
No, not until I read this piece.
Yeah. OG or Ashley, you guys know Joseph Wells?
I don't.
No, it's a fine piece. And it's just Joseph talking about lessons he's learned as he's turning 30 years old. So we're going to dive into the lessons that he's learned over his life, find out what lessons OG, Paula, and Ashley have learned over their life. But first, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. It's Military Appreciation Month, and I want to share appreciation for one of our stackers I met in Cleveland for the second time. Keith just drove his car off the road. But Keith, a proud military member, I enjoyed seeing Keith. And you know what? Eric was there too, who was in the Marines, but both of these fine gentlemen served our country that I met in Cleveland. I want to give a shout out to them. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just Keith and Eric, but all their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. They offer 24/7 help from their U.S.-based member service centers. They offer resources like Best Cities After Service to help veterans transition to civilian life and Best Careers for Military Spouses to support our military families. All branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families are eligible for Navy Federal membership. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate this month, and you'll see all of our Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. All right, we got Ashley here. We got Paula here. We got OG here. Let's do this. All right, in this piece, Joseph Wells said that he was going to give us 30 things that he learned when he turned 30. But Paula, you noticed that he didn't stop at 30. It's like he wrote this late at night on his 30th birthday after a couple glasses of Chardonnay or whatever, and just went crazy.
Well, he kept going. So he came up with a list of 47 things. And then at the very end, he says, he quotes Mark Twain in saying, "Sorry, this is so long, I didn't have time to make it short," meaning he brainstormed a big list, didn't have time to edit or consolidate. But you know what? All 47 are great, so I'm glad he left them all in.
You know, it's funny. Ira Glass says that about This American Life. He says we never quit editing. We just run out of time on their podcast. Well, let's start, OG, with you. Looking at this list of more than 30, there's got to be a couple that resonate with you that really are lessons that you learned as well. Pick one on the list and let's talk about it. What's one that resonates big time with you?
I'm going to go and say number 32, Bill. Could I take number 32? the waking up without an alarm, because I get so much grief from everybody about the fact that I sleep until 8 o'clock every day. And the thing that I wake up to is the door closing when my kids go to school. And since this dude's got it on his list, I feel pretty vindicated that it's the right way to live your life. So yeah, wake up naturally without an alarm clock.
There is something that everybody listening to this is asking, which is, how did you, Mrs. OG, work that out? Because in my marriage, that would have never, ever happened.
It's the same way. I have a funny way to say this in a not funny way.
Yeah, you want to say it the not funny way, I think.
I think that means evil way and nice way.
That's right. Knowing your sense of humor, you probably need to say it the straightforward way.
Yes. Terrain. Pull up. No, actually, the real answer is that we work really well together as a team. And that's just one of the things that she does as part of her, you know, family stuff. And I do other things. So it was just kind of a trade-off. That's just what we do, how we divvied it up, so to speak.
It's interesting. Ashley, do you use an alarm to wake up, or do you wake up naturally?
I have to have an alarm. And of course, I hit the snooze like 15 times before getting up out of bed.
The snooze drives me crazy. Well, I've installed the Hue light system, but I haven't tried this Hue wake up system that they have, where you set your alarm on your lights and it slowly raises your lighting in your bedroom so that your lights turn on at X time. I'm afraid that I'll still sleep through it. Paula, you're nodding your head. Do you have that?
I don't have that, but the way my windows are positioned.
I was going to say the universe does that for you. You just leave the shades open and then,
I got to pay a bunch of money. OG. I got to leave the blinds shut and pay oodles of money for the Hue system.
Blackout curtains. Yeah. So that you can get your lights to turn on correctly.
I got to get my money's worth. Yeah. Once again, like Ashley was talking about, why did she name the podcast different? I'm like, why didn't I just use the sunlight? But anyway, Paula.
Oh, well, exactly that. For me, that the sun gradually increases the amount of light in the room over the span of the morning.
So you don't use an alarm clock either.
No, I typically don't unless there's something very specific that I need to wake up for, like a flight.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, if I'm going on a run with somebody, I will use an alarm clock, or if I need to catch a flight, whatever. But you know what's funny? I'll still wake up fairly early. Like I still wake up early, waking up with the sun. Paula, while you're talking, what's your first one you want to point to that you like?
So I, let me find, there were many that resonated with me. Okay. Number 29. Avoid complainers at all costs.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Complaining is contagious, and being around someone who complains a lot, A, makes you yourself more likely to do it. B, is just negative energy. It's draining. It's a focus on a glass half empty. It's just a energy suck.
My coach used to always say, beware clusters of misery. Mm. Just beware, because you can feel them. Clusters of misery kind of attract each other, and everybody's negative and getting each other down. Did that actually resonate with you as well?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, whenever I was a police officer, there's lots and lots of complainers in the department, outside the department. And
these damn people getting arrested keep complaining about it.
I know, right? It just sucks the life out of you when you're just around negative people all the time.
But you could see that in the police force. You could see there were clusters of misery there.
Oh, absolutely. And not just the people that, you know, we arrested. In any work environment, you've got the people that are never happy, right?
How do you keep yourself, though, when you go on a negative tailspin, Ashley? How do you kind of pull yourself out of it? Do you have any mantra you use or anything that you do to change your mood?
I love listening to podcasts. So I will find some podcasts that are uplifting and, you know, about mindset and improving your mindset, and just, you know, calling those people that do lift you up and not bring you down.
I love that one. Because it totally changes your mood immediately when you hear people being positive and taking control. I also read recently that going to do some exercise changes it immediately, like lifts your mood. And that's been true for me as well. Paula, anything you do?
I listen to really upbeat, uplifting music. And specifically, if it's the type of music that I like naturally want to dance to, if it's got a really good dance beat, I will dance in my living room, in my kitchen, in my bathroom, like, you know.
You talk about like the John Denver? Is that what you're talking about?
Not exactly. More like kind of EDM dance music. Ah. But, you know, I'll just have a little solo dance party by myself. And after 5 minutes, I feel way better.
Yeah. You ever listen to John Denver EDM Fusion?
You know, I would. If that exists, I'm all over it.
It'd be something different. Oh, gee, I was going to come to you, but I thought, you know, when you're in a bitter mood, you just embrace it, I think.
I don't know how to comment on this.
Thank you.
Yes.
Just feel the love.
Yes. My kid called me a fun sponge once. So. And then he was five and he said, "Do you get it, Dad? Fun sponge? Like you suck up all the fun. That's what a sponge does."
I love when your son is mansplaining the joke to his dad.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I apparently needed the explanation, but no, it's difficult. I think especially bemoaning one situation is kind of tiresome to anybody else who's listening about it, but particularly difficult to kind of get out of is, like you said, I think, you know, if you start kind of letting that fester and you've got like two or three people and then it's just that surround sound noise of, oh yeah, and then this sucks too, and I hate this, and it gets out of hand in a hurry. So you definitely have to be careful about it.
I go back to, I was thinking of other things that I do. I also go back to the Stephen Covey. Am I complaining about something that I can control, or am I complaining about something I can't control? And if I can't control it, then I just got to move on.
You know, it seems like this is a function of group dynamics since the dawn of humans. I think people mistake complaining for critical thinking, and you think, well, if I can show that I'm analyzing this whole situation and point all the things out that are wrong with it, then that shows people that I really am tuned into what's going on. But it's kind of a fallacy, isn't it? It's not necessary.
Yeah, well, and that's true. And who wants to be around that person as well? And I can think of people, as you're talking about that, Doug, I can think of people in my life. I'm like, I don't want to be around the person that is pointing out the negative thing in every single thing that happens. You may be right, but you're not going to have many friends that way. Ashley, how about you? A one on this list that really resonated with you?
Number 47, get comfortable spending time by yourself, because I'm an introvert, and so I need the time by myself anyway. But getting comfortable going out to eat by yourself or just going anywhere by yourself, you know, takes time and maturity, I think. And just being able to do that is really important in life.
Well, as an introvert, a lot of people think, Ashley, that you would naturally embrace that. But was there a time in your life when you didn't, when you felt weird about either going to dinner by yourself or spending time at home alone?
Oh, absolutely. Like, especially, you know, in high school and, you know, when you care what people think and, you know, my early 20s. But yeah, it did take me quite a while. I'd say maybe mid 20s and after I had some real life experience where I was able to be comfortable by myself. Like, now I can go and do whatever. Like, I don't care. Where before, you know, when you care what people think and are people staring at me because I'm by myself, getting over that is so important in life, because who cares?
Yeah.
Just do what you want to do.
No, that's funny. And it was funny. It took me a few times of doing that. I used to take afternoons off, Tuesday afternoons off, when I was a financial planner, and I'd go watch a movie by myself. And at first I thought, this is weird going to watch a movie by myself. But I'd say within a month, that became like my most favorite thing to do. And I did not want anybody with me. I wanted to watch the movie by myself in a theater with tons of buttered popcorn with lots of salt on it that cost like $87, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Paula, I assumed everybody was looking at me because my fashion game was so strong.
Of course.
That's not it.
Well, it doesn't have to be either or, Doug. It's probably both. You know, you're sitting alone and you got that hair.
How could that guy be alone looking like that?
That's right. You're not supposed to laugh there, Paula. That's the part where you don't laugh right there. Does that resonate with you, number 47?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I really enjoy doing is traveling alone. You spend a lot of time alone, but you also, it's kind of a blend of number 47 and also to circle it back to the beginning of the article, number 2, talk to strangers.
Oh, right? Yeah.
When you're solo traveling, you have to do both. You have to be comfortable spending lots and lots of time alone, and also you have to be comfortable just chatting with strangers, because the only way that you can break out of being alone is by striking up a conversation with someone random.
You know what's funny is that one bothers me, talk to strangers. This was one that I had on my list for the second half of this, which is ones that I really struggle with that I know I could be better at.
Right.
I was thinking as I was flying in here today, as I was making sure I did not talk to the person next to me, that some of the best conversations that I've had with strangers have been on planes, because you can sit and chat for 2 hours. However, when I get on a plane, I do not want to talk to you. So why the dichotomy, right? Why the difference between best conversations I've had, yet I really don't want to do it.
I think specifically when you're on a plane next to someone, you know that you are stuck in that situation for several hours.
The cost is too high.
Well, and so there's that risk that they might be a boring conversationalist, but then they might be unable to take any cues that you want to disengage. And so the stakes are a little bit higher versus if you're chatting with somebody, a barista at Starbucks, you know it's going to be a limited conversation, so you can be a little more gregarious.
I had a time on a Southwest flight that I was sitting next to an off-duty flight attendant, and he was one of the worst conversationalists ever, but he kept buying us, he had drink tickets, and he could, so I'm getting hammered while I'm being bored out of my mind. Yeah. But I thought, as long as he keeps sending the drink tickets, like, we'll keep this thing going. I'll keep the charade up. Just order us another round. Let's do this another round. OG, how about you? What's another one that resonated with you?
I'd also like to point out that I thought number 10 was around the same thing about kind of being by yourself, you know.
Oh, yeah. Alone, get comfortable sitting alone in silence. Yeah, this guy's got three that are very close to each other.
He could have edited. Basically, that's what you're saying.
He could have.
I'm going to go with number 33. It really went deep. 32 and 33. So 33 says, you have to take calculated financial risk to see large increases in your net worth. He says that he bought and sold different investment properties and got a nice increase, bought some crypto, got a nice increase, and then started a company and it cost him money. And I think that this can kind of be extrapolated into your investment plan or how you think about risk and return. You have so much time. And like we talk about on other episodes a ton, the thing that's most important is getting your capital in there as quickly as possible. So you can start taking advantage of compounding and the doubling. And so it's totally okay to take some flyers on things that may produce an oversized return, whether that's a job offer that comes with stock options on a company that's brand new or move across country that may accelerate your learning or career growth. Anything that you can use to like radically increase compounding in your life, not just on the financial side of things, but other things, I think is really important.
You know, it's funny. I think the word calculated in here, though, is a really important word. You have to take calculated financial risks. I don't think that you can just make lottery moves, right? Where you're dreaming big. And I feel like some people playing some of the crypto coins where they don't know anything about it, they just think it's the lottery, is a good way to lose a lot of money, or buying penny stocks is another way to lose a lot of money when you don't know what you're doing. And actually starting a company, and it's weird that he made a ton of money on crypto. That part's not weird, but he kind of endorses or seems to endorse crypto and says, I start a company that never made any money. Yeah, of the two, I feel like the company be the more reliable way because I control it. I can figure out what the landscape looks like. I can increase the odds in my favor, I feel like.
Yeah, the calculation is the most important. I mean, obviously, the best outcome would be to spend $1 on the Mega Millions when it's at a billion, but that's not calculated.
Ashley, how about you? Another one that resonates with you on the list?
I'd say 25 and 27, they're really kind of the same thing. They piggyback on each other, but people use jargon and complicated language to make you think they're smart, but really the smartest people will speak so simply. And then the 27 is the most insecure people you meet will often be the loudest. So it's really about paying attention to the people that aren't always the loudest and think that they're the smartest and have the biggest ego in the room. From my experience anyway.
No, I totally agree. And it's funny, Emily and I, my co-author on Stacked, she and I were having this conversation on Twitter and there were people joining in. And actually, Paula, I thought this was a conversation that you would really like, which is that this guy was saying that in the medical field, people that write these papers that are super dense are lauded. And yet a doctor who writes a paper very, very plainly, which is what doctors probably should do, they kind of get ripped apart, even if the medicine is sound, because they're not using big flowery language. It's the opposite, especially in writing. I see a lot of people disguise the fact that they're not that smart by using a bunch of big words.
So I think in academia, that is very true. When I started working at a newspaper, one of the first things that my editor taught me, he was like, all right, you're a recent college graduate. You've been trained to write these flowery senior thesis papers. The first thing that we need to do is break you of the way that you learn to write in academia, because now your job is to be a newspaper writer, and newspaper writing is the art and practice of plain speak.
I have a family member that even in texting writes very flowery language, thinking that it makes them look smarter, and it cracked me up. In a recent text they wrote, "It filled my heart with joy." Like, who texts that "it filled my heart with joy"? Like, really? I mean, and that's not big language. It's just very flowery right. stuff. I found, though, that over my life, I've become a better writer just by reading a lot more stuff. And I know that reading is one of the things on this list that that get comfortable reading more often. But, OG, I know that you and I think, have had this talk at one point, that your writing's also gotten better over time. And I think it's also just age.
Yeah. I mean, how great of writing we do versus.
Yeah. Well, just plain speak, doing it very, very concisely and getting to the point versus, you know, attempting this high wire act of either big words or sounding smart.
Wherefore thou unto pertain.
Yeah.
It seems to me that there was a shift maybe 10-ish years ago, and it might have coincided with the texting communication going up a lot, but you see this a lot with. Even with copywriting now, like, everything is much more digestible. It's not like Paula, like she was saying, it's not like these, you know, paragraph upon paragraph of content. It's single lines. It's how we really communicate is also how we're communicating on paper. And you see that in web design and whatnot now. So I think it just makes it a little bit easier for people to digest, a little bit easier for people to read in the context and in the same kind of tempo that you would normally communicate. So, but that's completely opposite to how you're taught.
Yeah.
Like Paula was saying.
Yeah. And Ashley, same thing that you're talking about, the bully in the room, the loudest person is probably the person with the least to say. That resonates with me also.
Absolutely.
Paula, we don't have a second one from you, and then we're going to the trivia.
So on the topic of reading and writing, number 8, money spent on books is money well spent.
Oh.
I'm a big believer in that.
The second I said that, you started scrolling. Where is that one?
Exactly. Well, and I know there are people who will say, well, you can get books from the library, or you can derive knowledge from podcasts or other free forms of content. Yes, all of those are true. But A, spending money on books or audiobooks is a way to reduce the friction around being able to access that content, right? You don't have
2 weeks to get it done.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can mark it up. You can take notes in the if it's a physical book, you can take notes in the even in the Kindle, you can take electronic notes, right? So that's one kind of response that I have to it. And the other is that, yes, it's also true that there are podcasts, there's blogs, there are many other forms of educational content that are free, but there's something unique about the way that a book is curated, the way it's thought through. That, you know, I mean, Joe, you're a podcaster and you've written a book, and you know that the process of creating those two types of content is very different, and there are different levels of thought and polish that go into each one.
As you're talking, though, I'm thinking that I actually have a different philosophy depending on the type of book. If it's fiction and it's disposable, I really want to read it fast because then I lose my train of thought. I like getting those from the library because 2 weeks is a good thing because it keeps me in the story and I'm done. Because I know me and being busy, I will just set it aside. And then 6 months later, I'm like, what the hell was I reading? I don't remember where I was. And you did read 3 chapters to kind of ramp up to get there. But with business books, I will often do the audio book first. So I get the idea of the book. I'll actually buy it twice. Mm-hmm. I'll buy the audio book, which I could also do from the library, but I don't. I could do that piece. But the second is that then I buy the book if it really is something that resonates with me, and then I'll mark up the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. And we'll use it. We'll have team classes on it. We'll dive into it then.
I've done that with only a few books where I've listened to the audiobook and liked it so much that I've then purchased the physical book in order to like amplify the way that I've learned the material.
Yeah, Ashley, is that the same for you? How do you devour books?
Yeah, with my busy schedule, you know, I've got 3 kids, I'm driving everywhere. So audiobooks is the main one that I do, but I'm the same way. I like to hold the book. I like to make notes. I like to highlight. So I do that a lot too. And what I've found is a lot of times if you buy the book, you can get the audiobook as a bonus. So that's kind of what I've been doing lately is buying the physical book and then getting the audiobook to listen to. Yeah,
especially if you pre-order a lot of the time, they'll give you the audiobook right away. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. All right, coming up after our big trivia break, we are going to chat about which ones of these do we struggle with? And then we'll also ask our team of roundtablers here one that maybe isn't on the list that is something they've learned over their lifetime about their money, their career, or just their life in general. But first, we have a year-long trivia contest every Friday, Monday, and Wednesday. You get to participate as you're walking the dog or doing whatever you're doing, maybe one of the few people still commuting to work again. But on Friday, we have our three roundtable participants in a year-long fight for the world's most ugly trophy that you may have ever seen. And the current holder of that trophy is Mr. OG. However, I've got some good news and bad news. And Ashley, I'm going to, well, Ashley, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Bad news.
The bad news is that you're in first place, which, by the way, is also the good news because you're playing for Mr. Len Penzo. But that means that you have to guess first when we are doing our trivia competition. First place goes first.
Ooh, that's a lot of pressure. I don't know.
but there is, here's the better news though. Len has a nice sizable lead. Len has 7. OG and Paula tied 1. So OG has 5.5. Paula has 3.5. So can Paula get back in the running? Will Len / Ashley pull more ahead? Will OG make it more of a contest? Well, we got to hear the question first, and that means we got to go to my neighbor, Doug.
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. Your 30s. I have lots of advice for my 30-odd years of life, too. Like, use a pill organizer to make sure you don't forget your cholesterol medication. Orthopedic shoes can really assist with your balance and ankle pain issues. And the best early bird special is the Olive Garden's Early Dinner Duos deal. I mean, free all-you-can-eat breadsticks and soup or salad, baby. Oh, what a time to be alive. But some of the best things to think about happened 30 years ago, you know, right around when I was born. Like this week in 1992, Chris Cross's Jump was number one and White Men Can't Jump was the number one movie. Speaking of 30, in 2017, Gene Chatsky tweeted that people who are 30 should have 1x their annual income set aside for retirement. So my question is, what was the actual median net worth for that age group in 2017? I'll be back with the answer after I check my man bun and goatee for gray hairs.
All right, there it is, everybody. So, Ashley, we start with you this fine day.
I'm going to go with 56,000 a year.
56. You say that with a lot of confidence. I'm hearing a bunch of confidence in your voice.
Well, you know, you got to pretend even when you're not.
You got to just bring it. This is the part where you're the loudest person in the room.
Yeah, exactly.
OG, 56,000. What you going to do with that?
I need Doug to say it again. What was the question again? It was so, there's so many flowery languages. Paula needs to,
what's the average net worth of a 30-year-old?
What was the actual median net worth
of a 30-year-old?
Yes.
In 2017.
In 2017. The median net worth of a 30-year-old was $41,927.
Also, see that? Ashley, you got the inflection right because OG also said it with a ton of confidence. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Paula, you would think going last as often as you do that you'd be better at this.
Ooh, them fighting words.
Well, not really. It was fighting words like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Now it's just the unvarnished truth. Now they're just candid words. Right. All right. So here is my thought process. Given that so many 30-year-olds have student loans, I think that there's a chance that it, and given that the question is median net worth, there's a chance it could be a negative number, or if not negative, it would be a low positive number. Now, given that Ashley's response was 56,000, OG said 41,000, and whoever is closest is the winner, that basically means that I could guess 40,000 and capture the entire downside.
So you think it's lower than either one of those two?
Correct. Correct.
So does that mean you're doing it or are you just talking out loud?
So OG's precise guess was 41,000 and what?
927.
All right. Well, then mine is going to be 41,926.
And that's
brutal. Oh,
that's the way you do it, Ashley. Welcome to the party. That's luckily OG got it, not you, and your first time here. All right. We've got our guesses locked in. We'd love to tell you who's right, but we don't play that way. We'll be right back.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they can also be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. Oh, God. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. U.S. Cellular, a company that sells phones, wants us to put down our phones and to see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
All right, Ashley, you started off at 56,000 and OG immediately went lower to try to give Paula maybe a little room between the two. But now you've got the whole upside to yourself. You feeling good about that?
Not so confident now. We'll see.
OG, Paula took you off at the knees there.
Whatever.
And Paula,
as long as she can sleep at night.
I thought there was going to be more. Paula, you sleeping fine? You sleeping okay?
I'm sleeping great. I feel great about my guess.
She feels great about possibly, maybe climbing out of last place. But who knows? Is it Ashley? Is it OG? Is it Paula? Let's find out.
Hey there, Staggers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and I'm back. According to Yahoo Finance, at the age of 30, the average American's net worth is $122,000. But, you know, that's skewed by all the Gateses and the Bezos kids out there. In fact, the average net worth was so low that when Gene Chatsky tweeted, one user responded to her saying, "One time my salary, I barely have enough to afford a Greg's Steak and Bake. Leave me alone, Gene Chatsky." Kids these days have so much charm. So while Chatsky was probably hoping for more, the median net worth is only about $35,000. And that means Paula is sleeping great tonight. And she is our winner.
How does it feel, Paula? Because this doesn't happen often.
Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic.
She also said it was negative. That was her original guess. Was negative.
Sounds like someone's a sore loser because I'm the champion of this round.
Paula's like, I don't like number 49 on this list, which is when OG pouts. All right. That's our first half of the show. Second half of the show coming up right now. Our second half of the show is brought to you by Magnify Money. Doug, you know what happens when you go to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money?
I get a cup of coffee with my name spelled right on the coffee cup. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Tracy, in the Wendy's in Fruta, Colorado. No one spells the name Doug with an E.
Did somebody really spell it Doug?
Actually,
Doogie?
I walk into this Wendy's. It's empty. I'm wondering, are they even open? There's one woman behind the counter, Tracy. There's a dude in the back cooking, nobody else, and she asked for putting a name. She wants to put a name on the order. Looking behind me like, are you going to get this confused with somebody else here? So she asked for my name, and I say, Doug, and she goes, I'm sorry, what? Doug? I'm sorry, what's that? I give her my name again. I get the receipt back, and Doug is spelled D-U-G-E. Yeah, that's right.
Doug.
I became Douge. Douge. Yes, I know what it rhymes with.
That's not what you get. You know what you get when you go to Magnify Money?
Hopefully better than Douge.
StackingBenjamins.com/Magnify Money. You find out that those financial products you use at your brick and mortar bank every day, maybe not best in class, because
checking accounts, savings accounts. There's tons of them online, and they rank them all head-to-head at Magnify Money. Over 92% of all of the stuff online ranked. StackyBenjamins.com/Magnify Money to maybe upgrade your checking account, upgrade your savings. Look at CDs, maybe with interest rates coming up. CDs are back, high-yield savings accounts, things like that at Magnify Money. All right, here in the second half, we're going to focus on ones that you like from this list, but man, you wish you were better at them. So, OG, let's start with you. What's one on this list that you look at and you go, yeah, I really want to embrace that one. Maybe I should do better.
Number 11, have more patience with your parents.
Oh, you don't have much patience with your parents.
I suffer no fools.
And you, are you saying your parents are fools?
To the letter.
But
also number five. Can I say number five also?
Yeah. What's number five?
No coffee afternoon and no alcohol before bed. And say, I mean, I could go on.
I violate.
I suck at half these things.
I violate both of those too. I'm like, oh, okay. It's an hour before bed. I think I'll just have a glass of wine. Yeah, that always works out well.
As long as it's only a glass, I think you're fine.
Studies show. What
you and I are like, yeah, we should have a glass each.
Well, that's
times four.
Doug, remember the days when we first met and we would play darts at your house? I'd bring over a bottle of wine and we were talking about how we love those glasses because one glass for you and one glass for me and the bottle's finished.
I love that they're like half gallon glasses.
They're like very pretty versions of a big gulp, right?
Are you talking about like a chalice?
No, I'm talking about the big red wine glasses that are nice, big and round, you know,
like the gigantic.
Yes.
How far up do you fill them? I think you're only supposed to fill them.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Yes. We could tell each other we were having two glasses of wine and yeah.
Honestly, I only had two glasses. I don't understand.
Not great. Anyway, Ashley, how about you? Which one really resonated with you that you wish you were better at?
Oh gosh, there's so many of them, but definitely number two, talking to strangers. I'm so socially awkward. I don't know what my problem is, but I just can't make myself talk to people outside of like online. I don't know what my problem is.
I like it and I hate it. I found as I become older, I'm better at saying, how's your day going? Just to see what happens. Just purely to see what happens. And then like with my taxi driver over here today, I was like, you know what? I really don't care how his day's going. And that just sounds horrible.
That's a good segue though. I could practice that. Like if I have an idea of what to say, it might be a little bit easier.
Well, you know what he did, Ashley? He did, we were talking earlier about clusters of misery. The first thing he said was not very well. It's been way too slow. I'm like, oh good. Which is why I immediately didn't care. I'm like, oh crap.
Then what do you say? See, I don't know what to say to that.
Yes. Then he proceeds to tell me about how few people have been taking the taxi that day. And so then I tried to make his day. I actually said to him, I said, well, the good news is you get to spend the next 25 minutes with me. And then
he said, oh crap.
No, he actually did laugh then. I'm like, so your day just got a hell of a lot better. And by the way, I only made the joke because I didn't want the negativity. I was like, please no. I've been on a plane for 3.5 hours. Don't do that to me. Paula, what's one that resonates with you that you wish you were better at?
So one that I struggle with, number 28, cell phones are best used resourcefully, not reflexively. I definitely reflexively reach for my phone.
I think the universe does that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what he says is, you know, pull out your cell phone if you need to complete a very specific task, like you need to make a call, you need directions, you want to pull up Spotify and listen to a particular song. But reflexively reaching for your phone and then scrolling, it's not intentional. You feel dissatisfied, you feel anxious, no good comes of it. And yet it's so easy to do and it's such a hard habit to break.
It is so easy to do. It totally plays on our instincts, right? That we're missing out on something.
Exactly.
And it's all happening online, which has happened, by the way, twice my entire life. There was something happening online. And yet every 12 minutes, I think it's going to happen right now.
Wait, what were the two things that you did miss?
I don't know. That was kind of a euphemism. You know, it was kind of a, yeah, maybe have been very sporadically.
Right.
Something, but somebody died and everybody was talking about it online. Of course, I found out later.
Yeah. Eventually you would find out.
Yeah. So there, I didn't even need to know that. Before we go into the ones that I'd like you guys to bring to the table, let's shut this one down. Joseph Wells. We'll link to this, by the way, in our show notes page at stackybenjamins.com. I love number 16, which is write handwritten thank you notes. I love getting them. I get so excited when I get real mail. I like opening them. I feel warm fuzzies about people that send them to me. And I know other people feel the same, and I don't do it. And it is the thing that I so would love to have a better system for. Very frustrating. All right, let's move into our last phase here, which is the one that maybe isn't on this list, or forget the list. Maybe it's on it, maybe it's not. And we'll have our guest of honor go last. So Paula, how about you? Start us off. What's one thing that you've learned, maybe even the hard way, over your time here on Earth?
Get a good night of sleep before hosting a podcast.
Because you're seeing it in action.
Well, and in general, sleep is such a critical anchor point for everything that follows, for your work, for your mood, your level of anxiety and laughter and joy, and the way that that trickles into your relationships, for your performance at the gym, for how well you can exercise. Sleep is a foundation for literally everything. And yet, because it's so hard to be running at your full maximum potential in the way that you want to in work, in your social life, in your exercise or gym life. And, you know, it's hard to do all of that and also get adequate sleep. Oftentimes something's got to give, and it's so easy to cut back from the sleep.
Well, and as you're talking, I'm thinking about Ashley with three kids. Ashley, how do you juggle mom duties with three kids, your work life, and sleep? How do you make sure you carve out time for sleep?
Oh, I don't get a whole lot of sleep, and especially the last 2 years has been terrible. So, you know, I'm usually up late at night scrolling my phone when I should be sleeping. So here lately, I have been taking melatonin just to shut my mind off, because I'm sure you guys know as business owners, it's like as soon as you close your eyes, you think of all the things you need to do. Yep,
immediately.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I have to drug myself so I could sleep.
That is, there's a lot of people listen to this going, I don't know that drugs are the answer.
It works for me.
But it was interesting when I had my twins and Cheryl and I were juggling parent commitments. I just remember thinking, oh my goodness, sleep is going to be so much better when they finally go to college. And it has been. However, it's something I still have to pay attention to. Like, I don't spend enough time paying attention to it. OG, how about you, my friend? What's the thing that you learned?
I think that, and I know he talked about this a little bit, but really diet and exercise are the hardest things to stay on top of all the time. I was talking to a client earlier today about a podcast that we listened to together. I mean, we don't listen to it together. She listened to it. I listened to it. We happen to be talking about it. Anyways, the idea that as you get older, your strength will diminish, right? As you get older, you lose muscle mass and bone density. And if you think about what you want to do at a certain age, so like, you know, when I'm 85, I want to, you know, be able to lift my grandkids up, or I want to be able to put my suitcase in the overhead bin by myself. And you work backwards from what kind of strength is necessary there to be able to do that to the ratio of like lost strength throughout the next, you know, 40 years of my life. I need to be really strong right now to account for that decline, you know? And it's something that's very top of mind for me right now. And I know, kind of like what Paula said about sleeping, I don't have any of those troubles that you guys talk about, like not being able to sleep or stay asleep. And I go to sleep. I don't know what kind of gift I got, but 9:45, OG's in bed, 8 o'clock, he wakes up, get my 10 hours every day, like clockwork. But exercise and diet are one of the areas that I struggle with, because it's so much easier to eat a cheeseburger or something than it is to get the stuff for a salad and all that. But do the salad and exercise thing first. A lot easier to go the other way than it is the way that I've been trying to go for the last 5 years. It's a lot easier to go from 170 to 200 than it is from 200 back down to 170.
It is. Well, and you also have to remember, and my coach keeps telling me this, that it took how many years to put those pounds on? Because you want the results like right now too. So you have to keep a long-term mindset. And by the way, we record this live on Fireside. If you want to join us, we're generally here at 5 p.m. Eastern. You do the math on wherever you are. StackingBenjamins.com facebook.com/basement. We'll get you into our basement Facebook group where we post the link. We also do it on Twitter just before. So if you hang out on Twitter just a few minutes before the time that we go live and follow Stacking Benjamin's Twitter feed, you'll find us that way as well and can come join us. But Gertrude, our room mother, says that she also likes time by herself, as does Elizabeth. Says, I love the time I get to enjoy by myself. And Maddie says that she doesn't mind going to movies by themselves. So good stuff there. Let's go to, who do I have left? Ashley? I think I do. I think, Ashley, you're bringing it home. Holy cow. Who can't tell I've had very little sleep?
That's okay. You sound like me when I'm trying to do stuff after like 8 p.m. So I do that all the time. I agree with everything that they suggested as well, but I'm going to say one that I learned the hard way, and that is to not take out a 401k loan. I just, it keeps me up at night thinking about how much money I lost with a 401k loan that turned into a total nightmare.
Oh, so you did one.
Yes, we did one to do a home remodel. We had just moved into our house, and so we didn't have any equity, and it seemed like the best option. Well, shortly after the remodel was done, my husband lost his job, and that was when you had to pay it back within like 60 days. I think it's changed now. And so we got a huge tax bill. We didn't repay the money, and we were in our 20s. So that was a lot of money that was taken out of our retirement. Yeah. I did the math one time based on the rule of 72, and it was almost $1 million at retirement. So it's like, don't do it. Don't ever do it.
Well, and I love Ashley, that you ended on a financial note too, because we've had a lot of great life tips, but there's one that I see people talk about, taking 401k loans all the time, and about how great it can be, because hey, you're only paying yourself back. And with the market being all weird lately, why not just pay yourself back the interest? And well, you said it great, that it can be so bad. And I'm glad that you told that story, because that's very difficult for people. All right. I think it's a great place to end it. Let's find out what's going on where you all are. OG, how about you? What's happening with you this last weekend in April?
I just finished quite a busy month of travel as well as client meetings. But the most interesting thing that happened to me, I think anyway, is that my son is now old enough to get his driver's permit. And we have to decide whether or not we are teaching him or if a driving school is teaching him. And he really wants us to teach him, and we really want the driving school to teach him. And it's mostly because he will just sit there with his arms folded the whole time, like, I already know all this, and be so, like, you know, like a normal 15-year-old teenager.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that funny, though? Sometimes the best teachers are outside the family.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, we don't want the responsibility. Like, I don't want him to, like, not pass his driving test, although, frankly, like, has anybody ever met anyone that didn't pass their driving test?
I have. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Somebody sitting next to me has a big smile on her face.
Oh, boy.
No, that was me yawning, actually.
Oh, I thought
letting in a yawn.
Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I don't want him to be like, you never told me to turn. Yeah, put the little blinker thing on to turn. You know, I'd be like, yes, I did. Now, you know, it's like you to go to the person who knows how to pass the test, you know, driver's instructor. So anyways, but worse than that is that my 15-year-old, who can't seem to find his way out of a wet paper bag, is now responsible for driving himself all over the universe. And
you sound very positive about this child right now.
Apparently he's,
you sound incredibly really positive about this child.
He's really smart. No, he's great. He just, you know, if you put him a block from home, he'd be like, I have no idea where to go. I'll just sit here until someone gets me. You
know? I'm trying to figure out how a wet paper bag would be easier to find your way out of than a dry paper bag.
Because they tear very easy, and you don't really have to find your way out of it. You just...
Is that what that means? I had no idea what that meant.
That's exactly what that means.
I guess. Yeah. Logic. I deduced it based on...
Lots of things I put thought into. I guess I never put thought into
having a greasy bag of tacos.
Wet paper bag. I've only heard paper bag. So it
can't find the way out of a paper bag.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not a wet paper. Well, now you got both, Paul. Right. Now you got another weapon in your holster that you can go to.
I've got a wet paper bag ready to deploy at any moment.
Ready to go. Paula Payette, what's happening at Afford Anything?
On the Afford Anything podcast, you join me every other episode to answer questions that come from our community. And so, Joe, you and I, we've been recording a bunch of episodes in advance because, you know, you're on book tour, as I am now
as,
with you.
As you are right now, right?
Here, both here in Boston. And as you know, we've been answering some really interesting questions lately, like really complex questions that fuse together money and life. And there are some people with very unique scenarios, but there are lessons that draw from it that are universal. So I feel like the tree trunk level knowledge that comes from what you and I have been discussing on these episodes has become amazing.
Plus all the Spindrift references, which we haven't done one of those in a while.
Yeah, it's so been maybe that's like
it's been a while.
6 months at least.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got to bring that back. Nothing more fun in comedy than the callback, you know, where you bring that thing back. And that's at the Afford Anything podcast, wherever find your podcast.
Yes, exactly. On your favorite podcast playing app.
Ashley Patrick, so glad you could be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Well, tell me what's going on at the Money Mindset podcast.
All right. So in the month of April, we have some great guests sharing their story, working toward FIRE, so financial independence, retire early, which I don't talk a lot about on the podcast. So we've got a great guest sharing her story about paying off debt and retiring early at 40, which is awesome. And some other guests sharing their debt payoff journeys as well. So lots of inspiration and motivation to pay off that debt.
We had such a good time, Emily Guy Birkin and I, on your show as well. And people can hear us mixing up with Ashley as well. If you just go back in the feed, what, maybe 2 months?
Yeah. About 2 months ago.
Yeah. Good stuff. And by the way, we will link to the website's budgetsmadeeasy.com. We'll also link to the podcast and everything Ashley Patrick on our show notes page at stackingbenjamins.com, along with the Afford Anything podcast and all of our usual links. All right. That's going to do it for today, everybody. Doug, you got it from here, my friend. What should we have learned today?
I don't know if I can do that, Joe. This one got off the rails about 3 minutes in, but I'll make some stuff up. First, wisdom accrues naturally over time, and you don't have to be old to be wise. There's lots to learn in the first half of your life. Second, just like me on this show, it takes real genius to make the complex simple. But the big lesson? Jean Chatsky fighting on Twitter with people she doesn't know? I don't know if you realize this, Gene, but social media is the place where everyone is polite and are totally willing to listen to alternate opinions. Thanks to Ashley Patrick for joining us today. Her podcast, The Money Mindset, is available on podcast platforms everywhere and on budgetsmadeeasy.com. Thanks to Paula Pant for joining us today. You'll find her podcast, Afford Anything, wherever you're listening to us right now. Thanks also to OG for joining us today. Looking for good financial planning help? Head to stackingbenjamins.com/OG for his calendar. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2022. It is written in part by Paulette Perhatch, who helps thought leaders grab and hold the attention they need to get their message across. Got a speech, blog, or book you want to write? We have the answer, and it's Paulette. Find her at thatwriterpaulette.com. Thanks also to our team who made today possible. Karen Repine is our producer. Tina Eichenberg and Gertrude Smith are our social media mavens. And Brooke Miller handles the show notes and our amazing newsletter, The 201. Not only should you not take advice from these knuckleheads, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. That's it for today. We'll see you back here on Monday on Stacking Benjamins.
Welcome to the after show. This is the part of the show, peeps, that doesn't exist. What happens in the after show stays in the after show. So thanks to Rocky, Woody, Coy, L, Maddie, Mike, Brooke, and Paulette are here for keeping this a secret. OG, you were talking about driving, and I thought we all have a fairly good driving story, or maybe a early driving story, or maybe a story of a kid maybe making a mistake with driving. But did you have a story, OG?
The one driving story that always comes to mind is I was driving back from a school event that we got to, you know, you could drive to if you wanted. It was way out of town. And so me and another two friends were driving together, and we were on a two-lane road, and everybody was driving woefully under the speed limit, or at least under the speed in which I wanted to have as the limit. And there's a long line of cars, and you know, it's just a two-lane road, one in each direction, you know, whatever, it's a 55 mile an hour thing or something. And so finally it's clear. I go to pass this kind of long line of cars that are all backed up, and maybe I'm probably six cars deep, and the car that's three deep decides it also wants to do the same thing. So now we're like bumper to bumper as he's maybe driving 5 miles an hour faster than the cars that he's trying to pass. Right. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to end badly. So finally he whips over, just clearing the semi truck that's directly in front of me.
Oh.
And I'm in the left lane with nowhere to go except lefter.
Oh.
So I'm driving, you know, 75 miles an hour in the opposite direction. And my immediate instinct was to go left. So I was like in between, like on the side of the road, past the line, but next to the mailboxes, because it was a country road. And all I remember is the mailboxes going as like all these cars passed me on my right. And I was on their right going the opposite direction. Because, you know, they were all backed up behind the semi truck that was, you know, in their lane. And then finally, you know, we moved over and it was fine.
Holy cow. I look back
and the guy that's sitting in the back seat is pale white. And I went, whoa, that was cool, huh? And the two other guys were like, we are never driving with you again.
Yeah. They're like, let me have this car forever, yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Please.
So, anyways. So that's the craziest story that I have driving, but don't do that at home, kids.
Paul, are you a good driver?
I am a good driver. In fact, my driving story, I want to talk about how I learned how to drive stick shift. Because what happened was that when I was in college, I had these two roommates. And one night, we all decided to go to Taco Bell. And so one of my roommates was the driver. And we did not realize that she had been drinking.
Oh, no.
So she, on her way back from Taco Bell... And you know, the funny part is neither of us, myself and my other roommate, neither of us had been drinking. And so she got pulled over.
Oh, no.
Right? The cops breathalyzed her. She, you know.
Oh, no.
Blew a number on the breathalyzer. Then they breathalyzed the other two of us who were passengers.
And you're sober.
And yeah, we blew triple zeros. So the cops were like, why didn't one of the two of you just drive?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're both blowing triple zeros.
Yeah.
And we were like, we didn't know. We had no idea. So anyway, she got a DUI, and then her license got taken away. And so she was in the situation where she owned a car but did not have a license. Meanwhile, I had a perfectly valid driver's license, but I was in college. I didn't own a car. So she was highly incentivized to teach me how to drive stick shift, so that I could then drive her around, which, you know, I learned in the parking lot, like just, you know, I picked it up fairly quickly. Shifting was a little rough in the beginning, but I was able to pick it up. So it was a nice win-win for both of us. And then after that, when I went to buy my next car, again, I was a college student. I didn't have a whole lot of money. And so I bought a $400 car. They were asking for $50, but I talked them down. And it was a four-speed manual. So that like lesson on how to drive stick shift then resulted in me buying a 4-speed and driving that for the next year and a half.
A $400 car.
Yes, a $400 car, a Toyota Corolla.
A Bondomobile?
I would drop it into fourth gear like no one's business.
0 to 60 in 5 hours. Yeah, these are not, by the way, like the fun, happy stories. OG almost dies. Paula is with a friend when she gets a DUI. Boy, these are hilarious, guys. These are great. Ashley, any driver's training stuff? Any?
Oh, my gosh. I could tell you lots of stories. So a funny one, since you mentioned funny. So when I was in a patrol car, I can't tell you how many times I got my patrol car stuck. Like, it's not even funny. So I'm not that great of a driver, but I've never had any wrecks that were my fault, though. I will say that. So I was pulling up to a wreck on a busy little side road, and it was next to a guardrail where the grass was really high, and I pull in behind it. In my patrol car, and the back end of my car is like 3 feet in the air, like, because the grass was so high, I didn't that it was a steep embankment, and I had to get out of the car and stand there with all this traffic going by for like 30 minutes until a tow truck came to get me unstuck with my patrol car 3 feet in the air. I had other officers just driving by multiple times, just laughing at me because it was hilarious.
Just like, hey, guess what Ashley did?
Yeah, yes. that went over the radio pretty quickly, didn't it? It was like, hey, if you guys are bored, check out I-20 and exit 451.
It was funny.
If you'd like to see Patrick skills with a Z, come on over. When I was in driver's training, we had the football coach for the local high school that was our teacher. And these two kids that, like me, all three of us were quiet and were very, I wasn't quiet. What am I talking about? They were very quiet, but I could never let silence go. I was that person that was, oh, there's silence. I need to fill this with something. And so I would sit in the back when I had to sit and somebody else was driving. And I'd also get nervous because, you know, we all stunk at driving. And so I would just talk away, but we're driving down this road and there's this house that somebody had taken this barn and they had fixed up the barn and they had turned it into a house, but it wasn't a nice barn. It was I don't know how to describe this. It wasn't the kind of like iconic barn that might be kind of cool as a house. It looked like somebody had basically taken a barn and decided, no, I'm going to live in this barn. And so we're driving down the road, and I know the guy's name was Mr. Scudder. I know Mr. Scudder was probably tired of Joe just blah, 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 blah the entire time. And we're driving down the road and I said, you know, that is such an ugly house. That house is just horrible. Like, who would live there? And Mr. Scudder turns back from the passenger seat and goes, that's my brother's house. And I go, oh God. And the only time I ever saw Mr. Scudder laugh was after that. He looks at me, his face turns into a smile for 2 seconds and goes, gotcha. And I shut my mouth after that. I was done. Well, this show's over, Stackers, but you know what? It's Military Appreciation Month. And that means that we've got time still for a shout out to members of our community, members of our family who have served our country. And you know what? Today I want to give a shout out to two of my uncles, my Uncle Henry, who is in the Army. Let's do three. My Uncle Eddie, who was in the Army, and my Uncle Bill, also in the Army. And two of them served in Vietnam, one served in Korea. And a big thanks to all three of my uncles, my dad's brothers, who served like he did in the military. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just my uncles, but they want to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Of course, you may be eligible for Navy Federal membership and you don't even know it because it's open to all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families. They're all eligible, and I want to reiterate, and their families. If you have family, like I do, who served in the military, well, then you're eligible for Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal's employees are part of the community they serve, and many of them are military family members, reservists, or veterans. Here during Military Appreciation Month, stackers, go visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you're going to see all of Navy Federal's Military Appreciation Month offers so many cool things they're doing for veterans. You'll also see all their other awesome 24/7, 12 months of the year offers. That's NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.